Welcome back to another episode of the Chats with Clark podcast. I'm your host, Joe Clark, and here at Chats with Clark, we don't do poppy intros. We get straight to the point. And the point of today's episode, episode 58, is Chad Sheehan.
But whenever you're looking at like transmitting forces through the core and rotating obliques, transverse abdominis, and even some of your back muscles, I know you guys saw the other guys doing this. My elbow stacked underneath my shoulder. I lift my hips up. This tricep and this thigh are somewhat parallel to one another.
A chiropractor that combines treatment with movement therapy, strength building, and nutrition as part of the Code Chiro group. Chad, thanks for being here.
What's up, man? Thanks for having me.
So it's a pleasure.
That's really professional.
It was a little professional. That's
very
how I like to keep it. Thank you. Chad, the first question I have for you is, what is the best thing that there is to know about you?
It's complicated, man. Very stubborn.
Very stubborn.
Yeah.
How do you see that playing out in your life?
Something to work on for sure. Something to work on. It's a good thing and a bad thing, right? Double-edged sword. Helps in a lot of arenas in terms of work and tasks and being task-oriented, but also relationships, making changes. It can be a struggle sometimes.
So absolutely.
Constant work in progress.
Yeah, because I feel like in relationships, part of it is just that adaptation, right? I mean, it's giving the back and forth and the give and take. So if you're stubborn and kind of set in your own ways with it, it's hard to develop. But with that being said, to your point, going through school to become a chiropractor, being task-oriented, all of that's so important. Give us a little bit of the background. What got you into this field and why has it become now your new life?
Yeah, so we have to take it all the way back before chiro school specifically. I wrestled from preschool all the way through high school. My end of my freshman year, was looking at a bunch of different colleges to compete in or compete at, and had my first knee surgery, rehab for my first knee surgery, probably came back too quick, probably didn't rehab the right way. Funny now that I say that. And my first match back from my first surgery, second injury occurred right into second surgery, didn't wrestle my sophomore year. And the conversation that we were having with the surgeon at that time, who worked with the Philadelphia Flyers, Eagles, Phillies, well-known doc, specialized in knees and shoulders, said, probably wouldn't be a good idea to wrestle in college because I would need a knee replacement if I had a third surgery. So your parents being your parents just said, hey, this probably isn't a good route to go. So when we talk about identity, that was my identity. It was wrestling. All of my friends and my inner circle was kind of built around this wrestler, right? That's who I was and identified as. And that being quickly stripped away from me without my say was kind of like the first big road bump in redirection, right? Now I look at it as like a blessing, right? Because it put me in a place that I'm happy to be in now. But the time required a lot of inner searching and search for meaning. And there's a lot of personal growth there. Lots of good and bad came from it. I would say more good than bad. But as a young person, you decide to get into trouble and do high school things that us guys do. But thankfully, with the support system I had around me, there's a lot of people guiding me in the right direction. I had a good moral compass from my parents, and having an older sister, I kind of knew where to go, and I had a good direction because of that circle. After that, I did my first 2 years of undergrad at home, worked a full-time job, went to night school.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And then my last 2 years went out to Colorado to finish my undergrad and did some work at the Air Force Academy and Olympic Training Center. Worked private sector, strength conditioning. And then I, in senior year of high school, started building my own personal training business. And still to this day, still have the personal training business that's kind of a side hustle at this point. But I love it and plan on doing it forever. And after that, I had to decide if I was going to go pre-med, go to med school, become an MD. I was looking at orthopedic surgery, or go get my PhD in some type of exercise physiology or sports performance. That's really what I loved. Shadowed a couple different docs, PTs, chiros and orthos, shadowed the ortho that I had that did my knee, and shadowed a doc in Colorado. They thankfully talked me out of it, realized the day-to-day clinical back and forth of looking at knees and shoulders all day. It just wasn't my thing. And the only cool part of it was doing the surgeries. So then I went PT and chiro route, and thankfully shadowed some pretty cool sports PTs that did some cool stuff, and decided to go to chiro school.
Yeah.
And graduated chiro school 5 months ago.
Congrats.
About 5 months ago. And here we are. So, amazing. Yeah.
Throughout all of it, what's been the why? So you kind of had the injury, right? And you saw the people around you and maybe the impact when you went and did some of the shadowing that someone in your field could have. So for you specifically, what's been the why? Because I feel like any why can outdo the how, right? Like, or what it takes to do it.
Yeah. So one thing about the chiropractic profession, which a lot of people know, it's kind of the thing we get a lot of hate for, is the overuse of our big tool. And that's mobilization or a chiropractic adjustment, which is what most people know us as experts in. And it's in the chiropractic industry, it's most definitely overused. And so my what or how or why is bridging the gap between manual medicine and high performance. I just had a call with a younger student who's just starting grad school, who's in the place that I was in 4 years ago. Mm. And they're asking like, hey, I'm seeing all the things that you're doing, the people that you're working with, how did you get there? And we talked about having a niche, right? Anyone go do the 3.5-4 years of chiro school? Yeah, it's tough, but you'll get through it.
Sure.
You figure out how to make it work. And you graduate and you become a chiropractor. And you can do a high volume practice and make decent money, a decent living. But what's really hard is like working with the people you truly want to work with. And you have to find a niche that fits that market, whatever market that is, whether you want to work with in pediatrics, geriatric, sports, whatever that is, you have to find a niche that sets you up to work with that population, or else it's just not going to work. And you're going to work with the general population, which I call gen pop. Nothing wrong with that. But if you have aspirations to work with a very specific group, you need to find a niche that fits that group. If that makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's great advice. I mean, especially someone looking at what you do, who tends to be on mostly, I would say, the sports side of things, that is a very specific niche, right? So someone looking at you is not going to get there just by not having that niche.
Yes. And, you know, building off of that question you had asked, my what, my why, and that bridging the gap is really what I love. My niche that separated me from everyone else, I was not the sharpest, brightest person in the room. I just worked really hard in school. But my niche was the performance side of things. And that's so rare in chiro. It's not rare in PT. Now, the level of quality of performance and strength conditioning work in the PT world also sucks, but sucks less than the chiro world.
Yeah.
going to chiro school, I was amazed by how disconnected people were from their bodies, what they ate, what they drank, how they slept, how they took care of their bodies, how they managed their schedules, going back to being stubborn in my scheduling. Like, it was so eye-opening how low the bar was, even for that rigorous workload in school. They might have had those puzzle pieces figured out, but the rest of the puzzle was in shambles. And
that's insane. Yeah.
And that is something that when I have these calls with these students, which I never expected to get called these kind of calls this early on, which is super cool. And my biggest thing is there's a lot of people that help me out figuring out my direction of where I go after school and how I go about it. So I, like, their biggest ask was just do the same thing for people when they start asking you how you made it and
absolutely
direction to go in and finding your niche. But that's the big thing. Bridging the gap between manual medicine and high performance. That's my big thing. I remind myself of that every single day.
In a world where Ozempic and quick fix drugs are probably more prevalent than ever, how do you navigate instilling that process, which is more of a slow play, right? Like discipline every single day. How do you manage to, I don't want to say sell it, but sell it? Or how do you make it so that people find that?
Risk versus reward, right? there's something to be said about doing hard things and having a reward at the end. In this specific case, and I don't want to overreach my scope of practice with GLP-1s, Ozempic, Wegovy, any GLP-1 for this matter. We have to be really careful, especially with new drugs, on use cases. When I look at a patient, I think, okay, is the risk of being morbidly obese greater than the risk of taking the drug? If so, let's take the drug. Let's use it as a tool. I will work hand in hand with your PCP, your primary care physician, on tapering of the drug and use of the drug as a tool to, hey, let's curb satiety and hunger and cravings. And then the most important thing, and this is my side of the coin, is pairing these things with resistance training, supplementation, lifestyle modification, right? And then the alterations and management of drug and the use of the drug and dosage, that's on the PCP, but we'll work hand in hand so that we have the best clinical outcome, best prognosis for the patient. It's something that I don't think people should be on forever. I think we're going to learn more and more about the drugs, whether it's good or bad. It is a naturally occurring peptide in the gastrointestinal tract. So that's what people also don't understand. They're just long links of amino acid chains. Doesn't mean it's a good thing if it's already produced inside the body. But that being said, I think we're going to learn more and more over time about the use case and possible upsides and downsides of the drug and its uses. But the big things I touch on with GLP-1s, and this is a huge topic that everyone wants to talk about, again, kind of staying in my lane, staying within my scope and not overreaching, is, hey, let's resistance train because we know it has an effect on musculoskeletal health, okay? Let's supplement properly according to dosing and blood work and whatnot. And the big thing is, hey, let's modify lifestyle. We have to ask ourselves why we're morbidly obese.
Yeah.
Now, do I think people that are not morbidly obese and just have a few extra pounds, I think a GLP-1 is a terrible idea. Again, going back to that risk versus reward, the downsides of the drug are much worse than the quote-unquote downsides of being a few pounds overweight. That's when I really push on patient education, on maintaining healthy metabolism, things that we can do to stay away from the drug, sleeping better, eating better, just giving them tools, right? Even with a degree in sports nutrition and clinical nutrition, we had tons of time in nutrition class, both in undergrad and in grad school, actually more than a standard MD does. Most people don't know that. But even when it comes to the intricacies of dietary modifications and nutrition, I start to even push people towards someone that really specializes in that. Because when it comes to weight loss strategy, it's very psychosomatic too. It is not just, hey, calories in, calories out, eat less, work out more. That's what terrible doctors do, right? Oh, you have time to work out, even though you work 80 hours a week, and don't worry about your stress levels. Don't worry about how much you're sleeping. Just calories in, calories out, and work out more. It's a recipe for disaster. That's when someone's going to go on GLP-1 because it's easier, right? But if we can create some changes, talk about the emotional relationship they have with food. Ask them, hey, why do you eat the food? Is there a trigger that has you binging, right? Are you stressed? How can we manage stress? We could get really far into like how cortisol affects metabolism, right? And cravings. But these are all things, it's a very much a global approach. And this is one of the best parts of the job is connecting with other providers in nutrition, primary care physicians, orthos, neuros, and kind of developing of a global integrative approach. That's what we have always prided ourselves in as chiropractors, is like bringing people together, creating a team of providers so that we create the best prognosis for the patient. That's what we should be doing, not fighting one another and bashing one another for what we do.
Yeah, you're going to find people that are in that niche too, right? People that are working on developing the whole person, basically. And I think that's what's so interesting about it, because those quick fixes, even if they might look like they're doing well, right? Like you can like, oh, it looks effective. I mean, there's so much more going on. But when you're doing something, the slow build through building muscle, through losing it authentically, all that, losing extra weight that is authentically, all that, you know it's effective in the long haul, but it just takes so much longer to see it. So I think that's where it's like our senses want the quick result. Quick fix.
Yeah. Well, it's like whether we think it or we see actual the quick fix working from an acute standpoint, a short-term standpoint, doesn't mean the long-term it's going to be a lasting effect, totally. Right? Like people fasting. Because at the end of the day, they're really just limiting calories. A lot of people that do intermittent fasting actually wind up eating more because they curb cravings and then they binge in this quote-unquote feeding window, and they actually wind up eating more than they did before.
Wild.
Or they lose weight, but then they go back to a non-intermittent fasting approach and they gain it all back.
Sure.
Or they just, what I see the probably the most is people just start to starve themselves and eat way less than they should. And that has deleterious effects in of its own. But yeah, the quick fix doesn't always work, right?
Yeah. Chad, how do you establish the trust? You're a young person and just by nature, you've had less experience in hours and with patients than someone who's been doing it for longer. Just by nature of the beast. How do you establish that trust with your patients?
I think the biggest thing is like, I actually understand why people would want someone that's been doing it longer than I have. If I was to go into a surgery today, I definitely wouldn't want a resident fresh out of med school doing my spinal surgery, right? Now a little less of a risk with what I do, whether it's hands-on performance related stuff than a surgery, the biggest thing is quality of care, listening to the people, using your clinical eye, everything that you learned in school, everything you learned out of school and continued ed certifications, extracurricular stuff, continuation of learning, showing that you're a lover of learning. That's one of my big things, being a lover of learning, but letting the patient know that you hear them and then you understand them and connecting those dots, but just giving, it's as simple as this, giving everything you have. Whether we like it or not, sometimes the patient's not going to want the chiro fresh out of school, right? Mm-hmm. Thankfully, again, kind of going back to that niche, I am very much qualified in the performance and rehab space that I can kind of really shift that lens to that, and then pair that with a clinical eye. And that really sets me apart. Sets me apart not just at this practice, but kind of globally within the chiropractic and rehab space. But yeah, it's definitely a tough dichotomy there when it comes to someone choosing the right doc that works for them. And it's not always going to work. And you're not always going to be a patient's favorite doc, a favorite chiro, whether it's here at Code Chiro or if it's here in another practice, right? But that's just a part of the game. Just like you're not going to be someone's favorite hairdresser or dentist.
Sure. Yeah. It's
the nature personalities mesh, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just bringing the highest quality of care.
And you're so good at the interpersonal parts of it, which I think is, as we all know, the relationships that we can develop and what we do with the dynamics between people is probably the most important thing. And that's the name of teaching, right? I mean, it was my world. It's like, if you can develop a relationship, that's how you develop the trust.
Be authentic.
Totally.
And let someone know when you don't know.
Yeah,
that's true. Huge.
It's your ongoing
Going on back to like GLP-1s, right? I don't know everything about GLP-1s. Yeah. The moment I don't know something, I don't know. It's not my scope of practice. Mm-hmm. Even if it is my scope of practice, right? Sometimes we just don't know. Hey, I'll get back to you on that. I'm not too sure. Let me connect with my colleagues. Let me do some actual research.
Right.
And not Google or ChatGPT, but actual research, and let me dive into a little bit more and I'll get back to you next appointment. And if I still don't know, I'm going to get you to the person that does know.
Yeah, it's so real.
Right?
Right. I mean, it's so fake to be like, oh, yeah, I got you every time. And then you find out the information's bogus or you're led astray.
People appreciate that.
Totally.
And what I've seen, I've shadowed so many docs around the country. That's what I did on every break between trimesters and grad school was shadow docs. And you see some of that stuff. Like, you know, they're wrong. You just learned that in school and it's fresh and like, you're definitely off on that one.
Yeah.
But they're so stuck in their ways and been doing it for so long. And the person believes them, right? Because they've worked with them so long. But in your head, you know that, like, I don't know about that. So just being just completely transparent and honest, but authentic. Authenticity goes so far. Mm. Showing up for people when they need it, even when it's the time of the day that you don't want to work, or it just means a little extra paperwork at the end of the day, or you have to carve out some time to put a program together for someone, even if it's not at the price point you want, or you need to carve out some time to do some research to learn about hip impingements and cam deformities. I'm just giving you an example.
Sure.
This morning I had a cam deformity that I want to look further into. Someone with a history of dancing. So that's an example of, I'm going to have to go home tonight, spend a little extra of my free time to figure this out. So this person has the best prognosis.
Yeah.
Right.
It's part of the game.
Best outcomes. Yeah.
On the flip side, Chad, how do you know if you want to work with someone? Because it's one thing for them to know, but also on the flip side, I would imagine, I mean, just like with anything, that some patients are more easy to work with than others.
You get an idea after the first 5 minutes if you want to work with someone. But I will say that whether it's from the performance end of things that I started in high school or the clinical side of things, you have people that might rub you the wrong way at the beginning, but over time you develop a relationship and you notice how cool of a person they are. And that's kind of like one of my favorite things, the development of quality relationships, professional relationships within the clinical and performance realm, which I love. I also, at this point in my career, I don't want to limit myself and I want to get hands-on with as many people as I can. As busy as I am, doesn't matter. I want to try to take as many people on as possible so I learn the most and see the most clinically. And I don't believe in, especially now, picking and choosing my patients.
Yeah.
Maybe one day as I fall even further down my niche market and develop my business to where I can work a little less and really focus on things that I love and I'm truly passionate in, so I have even higher quality of care and precision in care. But right now, no, man, I'm just like taking everything I can get and learning as much as I can, kind of throwing myself in the fire.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a good analogy. It's true. Learn so much with adversity, right? Chad, up to this point, I think, especially through schooling, it's very linear. Right? Like you do this, then you're going to achieve this, and then you do that, and you'll achieve that, and it just keeps going. Now at this point in your career, how do you continue to level up? What does that look like?
Lover of learning. I would say the toughest thing about being done with school and being out in the real world is I don't get to learn as much as I'd love to. Like, I miss being in the classroom and learning new things, especially things that I'm really interested in. Don't get me wrong, there's classes I did not like. Talk about public health and microbiology. It wasn't my thing. But like I miss learning so much at the capacity that we were kind of and rate we were going at in grad school. That like I'm taking extra time and spending extra money on education on weekends, whether it's remote certifications online or if it's I'm traveling. I have, just for example, I have 4 different certifications that I'm signed up for just this year.
That's awesome.
Before the new year. And I'm literally, 4 or 5 months out of school.
Right.
That many certifications, a ton of credit hours for continued ed and all the things. And this is the best part. Now that I'm out of school, I get to choose what I learn. And that's what I'm really looking forward to.
Is that how you niche down more? Is that how you'll niche down more?
Exactly.
Okay.
Get better at what I'm doing. Gain a better focus through that lens and get myself in rooms with people that are doing exactly what I want to do at the highest level. Going back to that call with the student that asked me, hey, how'd you get there? My biggest point to him was, what do you want to do? Awesome. You want to do that. Go find people that are doing exactly that at the highest level. Go shadow them, ask them as many questions as you can. One, figure out if that's even something you want to do.
Yeah, right.
But two, hey, how'd you get there? What makes you great and them good? How do we get good to great? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so for me at this point, I don't have as much time to delve into books and podcasts and whatnot. So the free time I do have, that bucket, I'm trying to fill up as much as I can. And that's going to travel on weekends or even take some of my vacation hours to, for example, I head to Buffalo next weekend for a course. And then I head out to Arizona in November for another course. Head back to Buffalo again for another course at the end of the year. So these are like examples of, hey, go put yourself in a spot where you're the small fish in a big pond. You're with people that you look up to that are doing things at the highest level in spaces that you want to be in, working with people that you want to work with, and go learn as much as you can from them.
That's so smart.
And we had a really cool speaker at our school. And my biggest thing that I took away from him, outside of like his work ethic, like one of my favorite quotes, and I want to share this. He was in his 60s and he's a applied kinesiology doc. Whether people know what that is or not, just a really unique way of treating patients, whether I agree with it or not. The guy crushes it. He's super successful. He's downtown Manhattan. Has built a really big career for him. It's a good career for himself. In his 60s, he goes, I'm never going to retire. I always love learning. I love working. It's not retirement. It's rewirement. Just I work a little less. I love that quote. That's so awesome. Much. But going back to that, his biggest thing was you have I forget the amount of credit hours that you're required for continued ed each year. He tripled or quadrupled his amount of continued ed.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I want to do.
Yeah.
Keep learning. That's what keeps us young. Stay moving, continue to learn, stay sharp, right? And you're just up-leveling way faster than everyone else because no one wants to spend the extra money, take the weekend hours. I work every weekend.
Right.
And so I'm actually making less money because I'm paying for the expensive certification, the hotels, the travel. I'm not taking patients, but like I have to learn. And then I take those things back and the people that you saw or couldn't see that weekend, like, hey, how was your course? And like, it was actually fantastic. I actually learned something. I want to utilize it with you and let's see how it goes. People love that.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Right? There's things that pop up where I'm like, I want to learn more about that. Right? And so I know that something's coming up in my certification. I'm going to ask these docs that are working with these populations and like, hey, I have this clinical presentation. What are your thoughts? It's all about learning. And again, being authentic and just being true to yourself and letting people know like, hey, I actually don't know. I'm going to go learn more about it and I'll get back to you. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I'm 5 months out of school.
Right. Totally.
I don't know everything.
And each person's so different, right? Like, I think that's something that's so cool too. I mean, not only do you get all the personalities and the mixes and all that, but I would imagine that everyone's body responds differently to different things and all that sort of thing, much like our personalities are different. I feel like it's probably just innate in the makeup of a human.
Yeah. So there's cadaver labs in school. So you have a deceased person and you dissect them and you learn anatomy and applied physiology in school. And it's incredible how different, just from a structural or morphological standpoint, the human body is person to person. Now, the bone and flesh and blood is actually living. It's a living organism. There's a personality. There's trauma. There's stress. There's the differences in morphological makeup and structural makeup. And so there's all these other components now. It's so different. It's so different. I have two ACL rehabs right now, and they're two completely different cases. Very similar surgery, very similar mechanism, right? Two very different rehabs, two very different personalities, two different ways to navigate the kind of the psychological component. One's super outgoing, little older male, and it just, the way we interact's different. The way I can approach conversations and be blunt and upfront and just the way we communicate overall is completely different from the other younger female, very quiet, very reserved. Don't know what she's feeling, how she's feeling, but that's all a part of the job.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the fun part.
It is. I mean, that's part of constant learning too.
Yeah. Outside of just actually getting to do the work and being hands-on with people. One of my favorite parts about this job is like the just getting to interact with people. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. By the end of the day, you're like, I want to drive home in silence, right? But
absolutely, you've been on all day.
But it's the conversations, it's the interactions, the connections that you create with people that it's just, it's so cool. Just in my short time here in Ohio, been like super blessed to meet super cool. I mean, I met you through work, mm-hmm. super blessed to meet just like quality people. I'm all about like good energy and, building a quality circle. I don't need a big circle. I just need a small circle with quality people. And, that's all I need. And that's how like, I want to go far with the good people, right? Yeah. Which is why I came here.
I love that.
Yeah.
Chad, we're going to do something for the first time ever. So you have these Pneuma drinks, speaking of good people. Yeah. So Code Cairo is partnered with Pneuma. What is this thing? I've never had one before.
So this is a local brand. The rest of the staff here and the owners have a long lasting relationship with this company. Just like quality, organic ingredients, super clean. This specifically is an electrolyte drink, but they also have clean energy drink. This is their chocolate mint, which is just so good. Hydrating sports
What's
drink.
In this? Like, what am I drinking?
Coconut water, from concentrate. Like, reading off the ingredients, literally filtered water, coconut water from concentrate, organic spearmint flavor, Himalayan pink sea salt, and organic stevia.
This is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's solid. So, stevia.
Cheers, brother.
Cheers.
Appreciate you, man. Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you, Pneuma.
Yeah, so we sell a bunch of their products here in the facility. Good. Yeah, so 500 milligrams of electrolytes, zero added sugar, 30 calories. You can't beat it. And it tastes good too.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah.
There's your quick 30-second ad for Pneuma as we kind of tangent into a little bit of a different part of the section, more of the creativity side of things. Who are some of your biggest inspirations, Chad, whether you know them or not?
Well, that's good. I would say my dad is my number one inspiration. My dad's a carpenter, does nothing even close to what I do. But like just from a pure work ethic, family oriented human being that he is just is a super special person. And like one of the big driving factors of my obsession with like working hard and building a business and wanting to give back to family. My mom's right there too. Was completely on her own at 17 or 18 years old out of the house. Just a total badass. Rode and powerlifted in college at a collegiate level. Always took good care of herself. She's a CPA. Just really hard worker. They did so much for myself and my two sisters. We talked a little bit before we got rolling here. And I said to you that like, we weren't poor. We weren't rich. Just like your standard middle-class American family. Yeah. And they were just always willing to help, but also like give us the tools to like learn how to work too, right? Yeah. So you don't just get handed shit in life.
Yeah.
That's not reality for most people. Yeah. It's just getting handed things. So I would say they're like my two people I really look up to, and a big reason of my or driving force of my own internal motivation and want for things in life. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, I was just thinking about this morning as we like get closer to the end of the year. I write 1 to 2 handwritten letters to people that have impacted me. And I started this last year, and I wrote 2 letters to 2 people. They were people that weren't in my life 4 years ago. I met them in grad school. Both of them were actually clients of mine on the performance side of things. And I don't think it's anyone famous or historically significant, if that's how you want to put it.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But it's people that come into my life and provide like really quality, just like put out good energy in the world and do good for people. Mm-hmm. And in some way, shape or form have a big impact on me. My boss, my current boss, like literally one of the main reasons I came out to, and I'm not just saying this because we're here on a podcast. It's actually something I mean, has had a really big impact on me, giving me a shot. Providing me with autonomy, and for someone like so fresh out of school, allowing me to work with the people that I work with currently is like just a blessing. And it's like, I don't think he understands how much I appreciate it. Now I work my tail off for it and I put myself in the right places and I did free work outside of here and to be here and mm-hmm. to work with those people. Mm-hmm. And I give him everything I have. So that's reciprocated from him. But yeah, that being said, like he's definitely one of those people I look up to and get inspiration from, and appreciate on a pretty deep level.
When people believe in you, it's like the biggest thing, you know? I mean, right for him, I mean, he sees the talent. He's pushing you out of the nest.
Yeah.
He's like, hey,
just show up for people.
Yeah.
Right. Show up for people. That's all, give everything you got and good things come. That being said, I would say another person, probably the last like really influential person on me is my significant other. Talk about stubborn, talk about a pain in the butt, but like she's my best friend and she always pushes me, tells me when I'm wrong, whether I like it or not. She's usually always right too. But like just a really big like guiding light in my life. When I was trying to decide if I was going to go start my own business out in Philadelphia or come to Cleveland, there's very few people in my life that supported that. They saw home and my tight group of friends back home being really important and just go do your own thing in Philly. Like it'll be worth it. But she really pushed me getting uncomfortable and always has. And called me out on my shit, always does. She's been such a driving force for me and like a big part of my why and my what and my how in life. So that's just a few of the people that have left a big impact on me and left a mark on me in the most positive and influential ways. But like it's all about the people in your circle and the energy you give out and people give in return. Whether this is woo-woo or not, we're energetic beings and the work, quality of work, it's all energy. And if we put good things in the world, most of the time we get it back. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're going to get shit given back to you, but just keep putting out good in the world and good things will happen over time.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. It's something so profound that we can all look back on our lives and see people who have made our lives better, significantly better, just by what they did, from pushing us to loving us when we needed it, to being the consistent friend, or something, a steadfast force. Like there's so many times that we can pinpoint it to a person where it's like, yeah, that person, like they're rocking, you know, they really stuck with me. They really pushed me. They really motivated me. And I think our inspirations are derived from those moments.
It's key, man. Yeah. Energy is everything. Be good to people, surround yourself with good people, do quality work, show up for people, do things that you might not want to do. It goes far and it has a lasting impact on others too, whether you see it or not.
Right. 100%. Kind of in that vein with your impact on others, who have been some of your favorite people that you've gotten to work with, either side by side or I was envisioning on the training side of things?
Yeah, so we have a couple really cool basketball and football players that come in here from all over the country that have been like a pleasure to work with. They're awesome. One person that comes to mind is a basketball player who had a L5-S1 disc herniation. Guy could barely sit in a chair or a toilet or in his car without, you know, being in tears and just in excruciating pain. And he was first introduced to my boss, who's also Chad Teague, who owns Code Cairo. This player came up to Ohio, to Cleveland, and lived up here for a few months. And I had the pleasure and opportunity to work side by side with the two of them on the performance and clinical side of things, rehabbing him. And almost every single doc in the country that he went to, including the team, was pushing for surgery as a really young athlete in his early 20s, massive career ahead of them with a devastating injury like this, that could be not just career altering, but life altering. Mm. We were able to get him back on his feet. He's currently playing completely pain-free, the highest level in the world.
That's incredible.
And signed a contract with his team. And it might not be the contract he wanted or deserves, but I guarantee you in 2-3 years, he's maybe one of the best players in the NBA. And I just, whether it was a small window of time, mm-hmm. we still work with him today, but whether or not it's a long-term relationship or not, like I'm deeply grateful for like my time working with him and get to call him a friend and quote so unquote awesome. Family member. Yeah. Dude, it's like, that's what this is all about. We work with a bunch of other athletes, professional athletes, collegiate athletes that I love working with. There's so many guys and that are just an absolute pleasure to coach and treat. It's allowed me to do some pretty cool things over the past couple of months, travel to cool places. Lots of upcoming travel this year for the NBA season. Just super grateful all around. But like, even though I'm falling down a bit of a sports niche, right? Like, I think something that I want to make very clear, I love working with general population. It's some of the coolest, the coolest people to work with, man, because they really, really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Hard-earned money that they're spending, trusting you on care. And we've just had some really cool human beings come into the clinic or people I work with remotely that you see, you know, you start working with them from square one, whether they're in intense pain or they want to make a big change in lifestyle, and to see the adaptations and changes that are made over time due to some of your guidance and tools that you give them and all their hard work. It's just so cool to see people happy, right? And like thriving. And when you see someone going from a really acute pain point to being completely out of pain or not having pain that they've had for 10 plus years,
yeah,
so cool to see. It's the best part of the job. It's the meeting of the good people and the caring of the good people. Sounds cheesy, but it's the best part of the job.
No, it's so true. There's such reward in that. You're helping people live better lives. It doesn't really get much better than that. Yeah, the butterfly effect on that's huge.
Yes. Yeah. I don't see myself doing anything else. It's such a rewarding job. It's not the most lucrative job. There's more than just wealth. Isn't just money. It's wealth is like happiness, having good people in your life, connections, community. That's what true wealth is.
Totally. I'd rather be rich in stories. Like I have an uncle who, first of all, he tells the best stories. And I mean, it just, everyone would agree with that. I mean, his friends, our family, everyone would agree with that. And I always think about that. Like, he just has an abundance of stories that makes him laugh, makes us all smile, and so on and so forth. And it's not, like you're saying, that this doesn't have to be this grandiose thing, but just to have a story and be rich in that, those moments, and be rich in those emotions is such a blessing.
What's the old saying? Like, I'd rather live a life of oh wells and what ifs, right?
Yeah, and truth.
Like, it's not all about work and wealth, but that, like, the stories that you have and the people that you share those with.
Chad, not to totally put you on the spot here.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Yeah, right? If you could give one unique habit or recommend one unique habit for people to put and instill into their lives to live a better life, what would that be? I know it's kind of like a blanket theory.
Yeah.
What could apply to it, but.
Consistency. Be consistent with good things, obviously.
Yeah, right.
The more that you do something, those things compound. And there's going to be greater rewards at the end of the tunnel. It's not always pretty. It's definitely not always linear, very aberrant, undulating. But being very consistent is what gets you to the places that you want to be. Again, it might not be quick or linear or easy, but consistency is so important. It's something that I push myself. If that's not a good enough answer, it would be to move. Don't stop moving. And like, that can be physically, that can be professionally, emotionally, socially, right? Constantly moving your body, using your brain, challenging yourself, moving in a lot of different aspects is so important. It's what keeps us alive and young, mm-hmm. right? And vital. And
we've never been more sedentary in life ever, by the way.
Yeah. Like there's so many different terms, you know, motion is lotion, movement is life.
I've never heard any of these.
The weird shit that we do here.
It's totally your niche because I've never heard of that.
But movement's everything, man. Movement is truly life. And we always have to stay moving. You see a lot of older people, they retire, they give up on hobbies, they stop learning, they stop moving their bodies physically, and they degrade and they things start to break down. Our bodies are meant to be challenged and under reasonable amounts of stress, and that's important. So always move, stay consistent. I would say that
those are perfect.
They're my two biggest things.
I love that.
Yeah.
It always moves.
Things I try to live by. Not always perfect, but it's a constant work in progress, constant evolution.
Yeah, I was going to say this earlier, but when we were talking about you establishing your credibility and that kind of thing, I mean, look at you, right? You're well rested, you're built. Like, it's like, boom. I mean, it's like proof's in the pudding, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, to a degree, too. So when I hear keep moving and stay consistent, it works.
Yeah. Well, it's easy to like, say it.
Yeah.
Doing it's actually the hard thing.
Of course.
And like I said, I'm not always perfect.
Welcome to being human.
Another big thing I told the young man that I talked to on the call, who's in grad school and trying to figure out and navigate his career path in school, was be a billboard for your own health. We are in the space where we're telling people how to move, how
That's
to eat.
So good.
And it's like, you go to other physicians, whether they're chiros or not, and you look at them and they're telling you to eat better and move more and get better sleep. Meanwhile, they're on their fourth Red Bull and they just got 5 hours of sleep. They were drinking the night before. They got Twinkies in their cabinets.
Yeah.
And I'm just giving you a very like...
It sounds exacerbated, but I don't know if it is. I think it's
so true.
More true than not.
And so many patients experience that, right?
Absolutely.
So how...
It's mind-boggling.
So how do you take advice from someone that doesn't do it themselves?
100%.
So be a billboard for... If like... And that's something I love about our brand here at Code.
Oh, yeah.
Is like every single person that works in this office moves. They focus on their sleep. They wear wearables to track their health data.
Yeah.
Like... They're doing the thing. They're in the trenches doing it themselves.
Right.
So they understand what they're prescribing to someone. Don't tell someone to do something if you haven't done it yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it's no different than me. I could tell people what they probably should do that would make them healthier.
Yeah.
Who am I? I don't do it myself, right? I'm like with sleep, terrible. Yeah. So it's, 100%.
Well, and again, going back to the transparency, tell them like, hey, I want you to sleep 7 to 8 hours. I struggle to get 7 to 8 hours some nights. But I try.
Yeah.
I do all of the things that I need to get there. Black out the room, noise canceling, right? Like
right.
No electronics in my room, mouth tape, no strip. Like I'm a weirdo.
Yeah,
but
doing the whole thing.
These are things like stay away from blue light. Like, try not to eat too close to bed. These are all things that I try to do on a regular basis. Are there some nights where I have a high noon or a bourbon? Fuck yeah.
Yeah, right.
I'm human, right? But majority of the time I'm constantly working towards
absolutely
those things. So you can be a billboard for your own health. And on top of that, outside of being a billboard for your own health, this is a big thing. It's like, if you don't take care of this, everyone wants to talk about the nice car they drive. You know what car you drive every single day? The thing that you can't get out of?
So true.
Your body.
Yeah, it's so true.
So if you can get oil changed and get your car detailed once a week and spend money on that, why don't you spend money on your body? The car that you're actually driving every single day, the car that actually matters. If this isn't healthy, the body itself, the flesh, if the brain's not healthy, how can you do anything else? Mm-hmm. You see people's lives crumble underneath them because of their deteriorating health, because they've made poor decisions consistently, right?
Yeah.
Consistently work on the positive things of our health, right?
So good.
It's so important. When someone asks, like the big key ticket items for like being healthy,
yeah.
right? Like, yeah, we can get into the minutia and this is where you can kind of veer off your scope of practice. Hey, eat whole foods, drink clean water, get good sleep, be around yourself with good people, try your best to mitigate stress. Like these are all like big key ticket items to live a healthy life, right?
It's funny how simple they are too. I mean, drink clean water. Like that's very,
yeah.
And I know we're blessed to have that opportunity. I'm not saying it that way. I just mean, it's very straightforward.
It is straightforward for the most part.
Yeah.
It covers 90% of it. Everyone's got their thing, right?
Right.
Every other, certain people have more problems than others.
Of course.
Granted, but like, these are big key ticket items that we're in an age of technology. We can learn a whole lot for free. It just requires work. It's not easy, right?
Yeah, so, it's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
Chad, speaking of big ticket items, we have a closing litany that we do here at Chats with Clark that are our big ticket items.
Okay.
First one, my contention is that people who live gratefully have better lives than those who do not. They're happier, they're less stressed, they probably live more fulfilled lives. What role does gratitude play in your life?
When there's really hard days, I tend to gravitate towards the things I'm grateful for. And it helps me get through the hard day. Getting to come home to my significant other with our two French bulldogs, calling up mom or dad on the way home to check in, have a conversation, maybe let them know that you had a hard day. Like it's the going back to the people in your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's the things that I'm grateful for, that keeps me going. If I didn't have things I was grateful for, I'd be probably a miserable person.
Probably.
None of the work ethic, the consistency professionally is worth it if you don't have people to share it with. So it's it's gratitude being the driving factor, and the support on the tough days.
It's beautiful.
And the good days.
Yeah.
The good days are awesome. Makes the good days great when you have those awesome people that you're grateful for.
So good. Second question. Do you have any regrets in your life? And if so, what have they taught you?
Regrets. There's a few. There's a lot of wins and a whole lot of losses. And those losses are some I'm regretful for. There's a few big things I'm regretful for. And it's all part of the learning experience and the human experience. But those things that you regret, they're only losses if you don't learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether it's right or wrong, what you did or what you regret, whether you had control of it or not, all you can do is learn from them and let it shape the person that you become. You can't go back. You can't change the script, change the story, close the chapter, learn from the previous chapter and move on. Become a better person, better human, from the mistakes that you made and the things that you might regret. But yeah, you have to learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
And for sure, like I said, some wins, lots of losses, learn from the losses. Jocko Willink, one of my favorite people someone I look up to.
He's a beast.
His big thing is good, right? Had a bad day at work. Good. Figure out how to make it better. Lost some money. Good. Learn how to make more, put it in better places. Better investments, right?
Yeah.
I had an argument with a friend. Good. Make up with them. Yeah. Figure out how you guys got there and move on, right? Figure out how do I not have that argument again? What caused the argument in the first place? It's all good. Everything's going to be good. Learn from the situation and move on.
Yeah. Isn't the whole nature of like when you're sorry for something, when you have remorse or to have true regret is to fix it going forward? Otherwise, it's like, did you really feel?
Yeah. Being aware of it and being sorry for it and communicating that with the person or the people, it's all you can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have 27 years old. I'm going to have a whole lot more regrets and mistakes and losses. And it's all about like doing your best to prepare for those things and handling them in the right way. That's all.
In reference to chapters in life, the third question ties directly in. I believe that it's always important to have something to look forward to. What is on your calendar that you're looking forward to?
Just the constant progression of what I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm.
Continuing my learning, continuing to develop the brand, Becoming a partner in the brand, I would say, is the biggest thing right now. Yes, I'm fresh out of school, but I know where I want to go and what I want to do. The reason I came here to Cleveland and to this practice is because I believed in the people that were doing it. And you can go much mm-hmm. further as a team than by yourself. And I believe in the brand and the mission and the why. And I want to be a part of it. And I want to be a big part of it. And I want to take it far. And so that being said, becoming a partner in the brand and helping grow it and really anchoring myself here in Cleveland and possibly even opening up a location in Philly and elsewhere throughout the country so I can go back to my community more times than not throughout the year and provide the highest quality of care with the greatest precision as we develop mm-hmm. and evolve this company and this brand to as many people as possible. That's kind of the goal right now.
Right.
And so just like it's a constant evolution and it's super slow, takes work, but I'm like, it's super exciting and I can't wait for it. It's going to be a long ride.
I know we kind of tapped into this before the closing litany here. What piece of advice would you give to the audience, whether a specific sector of the audience or the audience abroad? It's kind of like your closing thoughts, Chad. Air it out there.
Oh boy. Be you. Don't try to be someone else that you're not. Going back to that authenticity, if you have something that you love, do it and don't shy away from it just because of others' opinions. That's part of some of my biggest regret in life is like doing things because others think I should or shouldn't do. Mm-hmm. It's so cheesy, but follow your dreams. Do what you actually want to do in life and don't let anyone deter you from it. That's all. Be authentic. Go for it.
Be consistent.
Yeah.
Keep moving.
Yes, sir. Let's go.
I love it. This is but a stellar conversation here, Chad. I really appreciate you coming on to the Chats with Clark podcast for episode 58.
Real quick before we wrap up here, sorry to cut you off there. I want to thank you for, you know, I've met a lot of cool people here in Cleveland and it's slowly feeling more and more like home. But I just want to thank you for like making Cleveland feel more like home. Awesome. You've been a good friend and person to have around. So thank you.
Appreciate you, Chad. Yeah. Absolutely.
Joe's as you can tell with the podcast, like you're a connector of people.
Thank you.
And you're a master communicator. And like when you're brought up in conversations, when you're not in the room, like people like, Joe's the man. Like,
that's nice.
Like just a good energy. The moment you walk in the room, like there's light, like it's a good energy and that's important. And I'm grateful to have you in my circle, man. I'm
grateful to have you in mine.
Heck yeah.
That's awesome. I appreciate that. Yeah. That was so nice of you. That was great. I mean, I got to have him on here more often. That was stellar. Chad, we also broke into our Numa. So quick shout out for Numa. That was the first ever like product review that we could ever tap into. That was really cool. So I'm just glad that we got to do that. To our audience, thank you so much for listening. Again, this is episode 58 of the Chats with Clark podcast. I will have all of Chad's info either in the comment section or in the description below, whether you're watching on YouTube or listening, wherever you get your podcast. As always, if you haven't hit the subscribe button, I don't know what you're waiting on. We're just churning out these wonderful episodes and you're not hitting the subscribe button. Ridiculous. This is episode 58 of Chats with Clark. I'm your host, Joe Clark, signing off. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, brother.